Well, thank you so much for letting me be here today. I appreciate every time I am blessed with the opportunity to bring the word to the people of God. But as is my common doing, I want to open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, You've given me this opportunity. Help me to use Your words rather than mine to bring the message this morning. May what comes out of my mouth not be my exhortations, but rather the message that You want these people to hear. You blessed me. Help me to spread Your blessing to those in this building and those hearing this at a future time. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two words from today's scripture reading that I want to focus on. And the first one of these is prostokantos. Now, you may not have heard that when Denise was reading that, but I went back to the original Greek, and that because, as you know, the New Testament was written in Greek. And prostokantos means expecting. It's used in the verse 15 of the scripture reading today. The people before that are being described in the scripture today were deep in expectation. Think about what Denise was reading when she said that not only were Jews coming to hear what John had to say, but also the secular Romans were also coming to hear what John had to say. John was preaching a message of repentance. John had been called by God to prepare himself first by going into the wilderness and living in the wilderness. And then he was prepared by God to bring the message of hope to these people that were expecting. This message of hope was something that the Jews had, even though they had been living under the law for thousands of years. They expected something different to happen rather than what the law had simply said would occur for them. They strive to follow the law, but they always hope for something better. They hoped for someone to free them from the chains of the Romans, but also to free them for a better understanding of God. They knew they were missing something. They knew that there was more than just the law was providing for them. But think about the other people that were coming to see John. The tax collectors And the soldiers had none of the history that the Jews had. They had none of the predisposition to bring this, to hope for a Messiah. But they knew that John had a message that was very powerful. John had a message that reached out beyond Jews, but also to those, to the secular rulers of Judea at that time. John specifically said that he was not the Messiah. They were hoping for a Messiah, but John said he was not that Messiah. But John did give them instructions. John gave them a pathway that they could follow in order to be able to welcome the Messiah. And that brings about the second word that I want to talk about today, and that's poisemonen, doing. This is referencing what's in verse 10 of the scripture today. The crowds ask him, "What then shall we do?" And he gives them some very specific instructions. Instructions tailored to who he was talking to. The tax collectors and the soldiers felt that they were unworthy, and they wanted to know something that they could do. This need to accomplish something that will bring about salvation was something that was being felt outside of the Jews at that time. But as we know, the grace that we have been given is something that is free and is not given to us because of what we do. So how does this fit in with these calls to action that John was giving here, which are very similar to the calls to action that were given by Christ in Matthew 25 and 31, verses 31 and following? Basically, it's act like a good human being. Don't take advantage of other people. Show them love. Don't show them ire. Don't take advantage of them. So again, how does this fit in with our idea that grace is something that is given to us freely, as it is? There was no need for God to give us this grace, but he gave it to us so that we could be one with him and his Son. But this grace should inspire us, should make us want to do our own poisemonem, to do something in order to show love to the people of God. We are always encouraged by those around us. We come to church every week to get words of inspiration. We come to church every week to have our actions reinforced so that we know that we're doing the right thing. We also come here to show our thanks to God who has given us this grace. And as important as coming here is, as important as it is to come to this building every week, we have to remember that most of the time we're not in this building. Most of the time, we are out in the world. Most of the time, we live our lives apart from those who encourage us, those who help us be pointed in the right direction. That's where Christ wants us to act most like Him, though. John pointed us toward Christ. John gave us the expectation of that Christ would come. But when Christ comes and we accept Him, we need to bring Him into us to the extent that we need to do our best to act like Him. Christ gave us an excellent, excellent example when He was living on this earth. He did all the things that He tells us to do in Matthew 25, 31. He showed us by His actions that not only do we need to speak like Christians, we need to act like Christians. This season of Advent, we are anticipating the coming of Christ. We are anticipating sometime in the future where He might come to reign over the world. But right now, we need to be inspired by His grace to act like Him in this world now. The kingdom of God is right here on this planet. And the more we act like Christ, the greater it will seem like that. We know that there are so many people that we have encountered who claim to be Christian, and yet by their actions don't show it. And that you know also how much of a bad name that gives Christianity in general. We're judged by the worst of those around us. But that's no excuse for us not to continue to act like we know we should act. Christ was our example. Christ was our inspiration. The grace we've received by being Christians gives us the strength to move forward. We don't need to sit back and think that just being here is enough. The worship of Christ should be a 24/7 job. all that we do every day of our lives should reflect the presence of Christ in us. It should reflect how we are striving to act like Christ. We're always going to fall short. We are not perfect, not one of us. And we need to be strengthened by Christ so that we can overcome our imperfections and do what needs to be done for the people of Christ, which is the entire, all the people of the world. The message of love that Christ preached with his life from the beginning of his ministry till his death on the cross is a message that we need to try and imitate. He loved us. He showed great love for us. We need to show love to those around us. We have many opportunities, each one of us, in our daily lives to do that. And the opportunities come at most surprising times. We need to be willing to say yes when those opportunities come, because we never know when they're going to happen. There are always some point in your day where you're able to show love to someone who desperately needs it. In this time of year, we see more and more need because of the expectations of society, that people feel like they should be perhaps do more and consequently overextend themselves. But we need to use whatever God has given us to help those around us. We need to find ways in our daily lives to bring about the kingdom of God that we so desperately desire. Just like the Roman soldier and the tax collector, there are many people seeking things that they don't know what they're seeking. There are many people who do not know the joy of Christian love, and they are seeking something, and yet they don't know what it is. Our actions sometimes can open a door that gives us an opportunity to talk about that joy and love that we feel as Christians. If we're not joyful as Christians, we're not doing it right. The love that Jesus gives us should flow out of us without being stopped. And that joy should show when we are interacting with other people. We are joyful Christians. We need to bring more people into that joy. Our actions show that more than any words that we could ever give. I exhort you this week to look for new opportunities in your own daily life to show love to others. The people that you meet, maybe expecting something that they don't know what it is. Perhaps you can be the spark that fulfills that expectation in them. Perhaps you can be the spark that brings them closer to the joy of being a Christian. This season is a good time to try that. It's a good time to start. Advent is the beginning of the Christian year, when we anticipate the coming of Christ. But let Christ come through us every day of our lives. Let those around us show that Christ exists. Show through our love, inspired by the grace that God has given us, inspired by our love, show that through our love, the world can be a better place. People that are down on their luck can see hope that they don't see now. Hope is so desperately needed. We can be a source of that hope. We can act like Christians, and we need to remember our example, remember Christ Jesus, remember what he did when he was alive, and do our best to be more like him. That's what he wants us to do in return for his gift of grace. He wants us to be more like him. Let's make an effort this week to do that. I'm going to close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. You know what we are capable of. Give us inspiration this week to be more like you. Give us opportunities to shed your love in our little part of the world. You were so, so generous with your love for us, even though we don't deserve it. Help us to find new ways to spread your love to a world so desperately in need of it. Love can save the world. Help us to be vectors of that love in our little corner. It's in your precious name I pray. Amen.